You're listening to BI Radio, brought to you by Cognos, the next level of performance. Check us out online at radiocognos.com.
Hi, I'm John Blackmore with Radio Cognos. I'm joined today by Meg Dussault. Meg Dussault is one of the three co-authors of a new business book from Cognos, The Performance Manager. Today we're talking with Meg about the marketing department's role as described in this book. First, let's get into the performance manager itself. Who is this person and what distinguishes him or her from others?
Well, John, they're the ones that consistently have the ability to line up resources, opportunities, and execution. And that's because they know what's happened and why it's happened. They line this knowledge up with objectives, and then they lay out a plan to establish a forward-looking view of the business. That's kind of a snapshot of what a performance manager does.
So your book, The Performance Manager, becomes a blueprint to enable me to do this type of thing?
These performance managers are really able to line things up. You can't have alignment unless you've got some sort of a unifying map and a common language. And that's what the framework in this book is all about. It's a common language so that decision makers in marketing or different functions can have a single viewpoint on things like customer and product and region and suppliers. And it's a unifying map so that people in one division are looking at the same business results and the same context and the same information as people in another. And in that way, it acts as both a unifying map and a common language to pull the human resources together in organizations.
It's interesting you mentioned the market opportunities. That's one of the five sweet spots that you have in your marketing chapter for suggested places for information. Before we go a little bit further into, say, market opportunities, maybe if you could explain a little bit that idea of a sweet spot.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a term deliberately borrowed from sport. And it is, if you've ever played something like golf or tennis, it's that, you know, perfect part on either the club or the tennis racket in the perfect stroke where it hits the ball in a perfect way so that that ball's flies away straight and true. And we adapted that to information because everywhere we look, the comment was, there's just so much data out there. How do I get to the stuff that's important? And so this notion of information sweet spots means that of all of the things you could look at right now, if you're able to categorize and group and design sweet spots of information, you get far more value out of that than looking at great, great oceans of data. And so that's how the term was borrowed from sport and adapted to information, a sweet spot of information that gives you far more value than looking at all sorts of other data.
So what would be some of the things that you'd be looking at?
I think an overall goal, which, you know, obviously if you've got a goal, you want to plan to make sure you achieve that. And I think things like monitoring company share, you know, and understanding if there are regions where the share is less or more than the average. You know, what is that telling us? Growth markets, in both in terms of percentage and revenue growth. Is there a product growing above the norm in a particular segment or a region? And what does that tell us? And then, you know, the profit in various regions and so on. And by understanding these trends and having the ability to analyze them, marketing departments are able to pull out information that others aren't seeing.
Once marketing then is able to identify some of these markets, obviously our role is trying to drive that demand. I think in the book you even state that that's where the rubber hits the road for marketing. How are marketers using the performance management approach able to more clearly define these micro segments, profit potential and others? What metrics should they be focusing on there, do you think, from again, taken from your book?
Right. Well, I think there's some general strategies. You know, one is the market opportunity. Do we understand what that is? And then are we acquiring the customers that will help us to maximize the profit of that opportunity? Are we able to retain them? And do we have some sort of relationship with that customer so that we can have an ongoing valuable rate relationship on both sides, both the customers and the organizations? And I think that where the rubber hits the road piece of that is really in the customer acquisition and retention strategy area. And so you want to know things like, what are your marketing campaigns doing? And what kind of spend is going into that? Is there a number of qualified leads coming out of that? And what does that tell us about these various campaigns, their message, their offer, and so on? So I think demand generation is really about understanding some high-level things like what sales are net new, how much are we spending to generate every lead, and overall, in terms of our promotions, do our targets and marketing spend mean that we're generating enough activity for our sales channel or to close?
A key point that I took away from the book as well, you know, you're just mentioning marketing and its ability to help sales close, is that no department is an island. To be truly effective, marketing had to coordinate and communicate with its other departments. Can you give us some example of these necessary links that could help illustrate this idea?
I think one of the greatest ones we saw in practice when we were talking to customers about the book was from a company called Eneco Energy. And one of the things that happened with them was that they were going into deregulation. And what happened on the day of deregulation was that they lost almost 10% of their customer base. And so marketing right away initiated a win-back campaign. And then they got together with their finance department and said, before we pull the trigger on this campaign, let's understand, of these customers that we're attempting to win back, how many of them are profitable? By doing that, they found out that the lion's share of those customers who left were not profitable customers. And so what they did as a result of that collaboration and analysis was to specifically target a win-back campaign to those customers who were profitable. So their direct mail costs just radically were reduced. A number of other kind of cost drivers there was a lot of cost avoidance in that. And more importantly, they were able to win back the customers that they really wanted. Now, interestingly, after a quarter or two, a lot of these non-profitable customers wanted to come back to the company. And the company was ready because what they said was, we would love to have you back, but based on our history, it's really important that if you come back, you pay in advance for our services. So in that way, marketing was really a crucial part in reorienting the organization's thinking and execution around getting the right customers back to the company.
They were really being the investment advisor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really, I think, illustrates, again, that value of common language information and the win for being a performance manager. Meg Dussault, thank you very much. It's a pleasure reading the book and a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks, John.
Are you a performance manager? Learn how to be one with The Performance Manager, the latest business book from Cognos, PMSI, and BI International. The Performance Manager explores the key challenges in core business functions, sales, marketing, finance, product development, and HR, and describes proven ways you can improve performance in each using sweet spots of information. Become a Performance Manager today. Order your free copy of the book online at www.cognos.com/pmbook. That's cognos.com/pmbook.
Taking you to the next level of performance. This is Radio Cognos. Check us out online at radiocognos.com.